to our work session for the Board of Utah County Commissioners. We have another budget presentation, which is kind of an annual report for 2020 and look forward. And we will turn the time over to Richard Nielsen.
Commissioners, thank you. Appreciate the opportunity to come in and share with you what we've been doing and what we're looking forward to do over the next year or so. Teased Glenn and Bryce a little bit ago that I was just going to sit down and let them go ahead and take care of this, but they both told me they'd head out the door if we had to do that. So, what we've got for you today is just a little presentation here, some slides that we'll run through. I've got a hard copy there in front of you, so if you have any notes you want to take, feel free to ask any questions along the way or at the end, whichever works best for you. Public Works, we have eight divisions in our Public Works Department. They range in the scope of what we do quite widely. Community development, we have a few different functions there. The Fire Marshal's Office, which is funded out of Service Area 7. Planning and Building Inspection, which are both funded out of Service Area 8. We have our Administration Division, which is a general fund division, as well as Engineering, which is also general fund. One of the functions that's in engineering is our stormwater compliance. That is funded through Service Area 8. Engineering also takes care of our flood control operations. The Roads Division, it has some funding sources there, the B-Road money, as well as the fourth quarter cent, and then SRS funds as they're available, and that comes through the Utah Valley Road Special Service District. Weed Control is part of our Roads Division. That is funded with general fund money for the noxious weed control throughout the county, as well as grant funding that takes care of a lot of the work on state land and Forest Service and BLM land. We have our Parks and Trails that's funded through TRCC. And then we have three internal service funds, telecommunications, the fleet services, and buildings and grounds. Telecommunications has telephone, radio, and fiber optics as part of that. Then the other part of our department, the other duties as assigned. This year especially, with the way 2020 has gone, with COVID, the CARES Act funding, we've been involved in a lot of those funding requests because they've dealt with either building remodels or equipment purchases that go into the buildings. We've also been involved with a lot of the disinfection and the cleaning that goes along with the buildings and trying to keep the virus in check. If you'd have told me back in January that my department would be involved in elections, I'd have told you it was crazy. But we were heavily involved with the June primary by providing logistical support, helping with the power supply and distribution, traffic control for the drive-through election sites. So we learned how to do elections this year. Also this year, we've been involved with our emergency watershed program. I believe the commission is fairly aware of that. We've got seven different projects going in the south end of the county that stem from the 2018 fires that were down in the south end of the county.
We're going to make it.
Say that again.
We're going to make it by December
20th. We're on track to. We're Glenn's over there nodding his head yes. So, yes, we are on track to. We've got the contractors in place. They are working very quickly. Okay. So things are going well there. That does involve work with several different cities. We had interlocal agreements that the commission approved about a year and a half ago that set the stage for this. Because it is a federal program, emergency doesn't mean today, it means a couple of years down the road. But we are working quickly on those, trying to meet that December 7th deadline to have those projects done and the funds expended. This year, as well as in 2018, we do provide some fire support for the county fire, particularly with our dozer that we have. We don't go outside like the county fire division does and go to fires elsewhere throughout the state and the country, but we do get called on fairly regularly to come and help with fires that are in county. We've had at least four this year, that a couple up in the north end, Lehigh and Saratoga Springs, and then Santaquin and Mapleton, that have both happened in the last month or so, where we have been called on to bring a dozer and cut some fire lines to help protect the homes that are in danger. On the Santaquin fire, we did get into Juab County a little bit because of the way the fire spread, but Typically, we stay within our own county when we're helping out like that. And then anything that doesn't fit in some other department usually winds up at Public Works. We're kind of the catch-all for a lot of things because sometimes things just don't fit in those nice round holes that are made for other departments, so we have to adapt and we try to figure out a way to make it work. One of the things that we were asked to provide with the packet today was an organizational chart. You can see with the top part of our department, you've got myself as the director, Glenn Tanner is the associate director of Public Works, Bryce Armstrong, the associate director of Community Development, Gina Tanner is our finance manager, and then Gina has a couple of office specialists that work under her, and I'll go into what are under Bryce and Glenn as well. Overall in the department, we have 74 full-time people, 5 part-time, and 9 seasonal. So on the community development side, Bryce there is the associate director. We've got the fire marshal with a fire inspector that works under him, as well as a couple of part-time office staff. Building official with the building inspector and a permit technician. And then on the planning side of it, we've got 3 planner twos, a planner one, and an administrative associate that work in there for Bryce. There's also a part-time person that works, I don't know what her title is, office specialist. So that we have makes a total of 11 full-time and 4 part-time in community development. On the public works side of it, we have 6 different division managers that work underneath Glenn. Roads division, we have 16 full-time people there. That has our weed control side of the world with the weed control supervisor and the equipment operators that work under him. And then the road supervisor and the equipment operators that work under him as well. They take care of a variety of things. We'll kind of get into that just in a little bit, what they do here in a few minutes. Parks and trails, we have 7 full-time people and 7 seasonal. Those seasonal employees include our park hosts and just some of our summertime help there to help the parks maintenance specialists. Communications, we have 3 full-time people there and 1 part-time with the division manager and the communications specialist. In engineering, we have 5 full-time people there. Fleet services, we have 10 that work in fleet services. That's our mechanics and our warehouse administrator, which takes care of the parks inventories and things like that. And then buildings and grounds, because of the size of that one, we put it on another sheet. Buildings and grounds, we have 4 different maintenance supervisors that work underneath the division manager. 2 maintenance supervisors, one who does all the buildings that are everywhere except the jail, has 9 full-time people that work in that part of the division. Maintenance supervisor at the jail, so that's everything at the Spanish Fork complex. You can see we've got security electronic specialist custodians that are not listed elsewhere because they are specific to the jail. Carpentry supervisor, we have the carpenter, the lock and door specialist, and a facilities maintenance specialist that does all of our modular furniture. And then the landscape supervisor with 3 full-time and a couple of seasonal that takes care of all the landscaping throughout the county. Jumping into the individual divisions, starting in community development, the fire marshal's office, and if we have any hard questions, Randy Crowther's here to answer those. You wanted to be on the TV, didn't you, Randy? As I mentioned before, fire marshals are funded out of Service Area 7. On average, they do about 730 fire inspections annually. They also respond to an average of 239 fire-related calls. This is over about a 5-year average. They issue 499 permits. They also provide fire education to the public to try to help hopefully get people so they don't have fires that are being caused that shouldn't be caused and they're not putting themselves in danger. Staff includes 2 full-time and 3 time-limited employees in the fire marshal's office. Looking at the metrics that they're looking at to try to gauge themselves for this next year, they would like to perform the business fire inspections on 80% of the registered businesses in the unincorporated part of Utah County. Hold a once a quarter public education event about fire safety in the fire-prone areas of the county. They want to look at completing plan reviews on an average of 7 business days, and then also perform fire hydrant inspections and flow tests on 80% of the private water systems in the unincorporated area of the county.
So on the previous slide, when you were just showing what the fire marshal's doing, these number of inspections and stuff, that's all unincorporated.
Correct. Activity, I don't think you do anything inside this. Yep.
So then in the metrics, I'm just kind of curious, what is the 80%? Where does that number come from? Because inspections on 80% of registered businesses, is that on an annual basis, or is that?
That would be on an annual basis, yep.
Okay.
Yep. Anything that I've missed on it, Randy? Okay.
Is that normal? I mean, I guess that's what I don't really know. This is why we're building these out together. And I mean, that would suggest that obviously 80%, the vast majority of businesses are seen every year. Is that the intention, or is there more of a rotation? How important?
You got to jump up here so I can hear you. I'm going to let you answer that.
We have approximately 100 various businesses, some of which are governed by business licensing, some are private home businesses. We have, on average, done north of 80%, but that is kind of our standard to shoot for every year, depending on fire seasons and distractions from other crises that come up, but we probably get north of that almost every year. And the goal is to inspect every business every year eventually, just as a minimum.
Okay, thank you.
And maybe just a comment on the fire hydrant inspections and flow tests. If you're inside the city limits, that typically is handled by your city water department or fire department. There are several private water systems in the county. That does fall back to the county fire marshal's office for those inspections. And that helps with their insurance rates and things of that nature. Keeping in the community development side of things, planning and building inspection. This is funded through Service Area 8. And this again is on an annual basis of what they're doing, 257 building permits, and that typically results in 1,684 inspections annually for those permits that are issued. This year, so far to date in 2020, they have processed 37 subdivision applications. The average over the last 5 years has been 12, so we're having a lot bigger year than we've had over the last several. They regularly plan and hold the Planning Commission and Board of Adjustment meetings and participate in those and provide staff support for both of those functions. We process 404 zone clearances annually. And as a note, this year in 2020, year to date, our revenue is already 113% of what was anticipated for the full year. We surpassed the annual amount in September. So we're well on track to having a good year in community development. The staff there includes 11 full-time and 4 part-time people. Those numbers do include the fire marshal's office. Looking at the metrics that they're planning on looking at here for the next year, completing the application review and processing on land use applications within an average of 14 business days, zoning approval for building permit applications, and review and processing there within an average of 14 business days. Building permit review for single family dwellings, and that's a requirement by state law that we have those done within the 14 working days. And then to provide 98% of the inspections within 72 hours of request, and that'd be 72 business hours of the request as required by state statute as well. So that's the things they will be working on over the next year. Moving into our administration division, this is a general fund division of our department. It handles all of the department finance. We process approximately 6,500 POs annually and for an overall budget with all of the divisions of about $33 million. We do all the reservations for the buildings, building use and parks for room reservations and park reservations. is just a comparison looking at 2009 to 2019. In 2009, we did 815 parks reservations. In 2019, we did 2,601 for a 219% increase. And the staffing level has changed, has not changed in that 10 years. We have 5 full-time employees in the in that division. And maybe just as a note here, I know in the department head meeting last week, we talked about looking at comparisons with other counties. For something like, say, the recorder's office, I think that works fairly well because they have a similar function. And it's a matter of how many documents you record versus how many employees you have. For Public Works, as I did a little bit of a look around, I knew that the we're a little bit unique. Looking to our neighbor to the north, Salt Lake County, their Public Works department is about 3 times the size of ours, and they have several functions that they include in their Public Works department that we don't. Animal services, they run a landfill and do garbage collection. They actually have emergency services as part of their Public Works. And then they have a separate department for facility management, which we have our buildings and grounds maintenance as part of our department. Looking the other way to our neighbor to the south with Juab County, they have mainly a roads department and a couple of employees that take care of building maintenance for the county buildings. And that would be what would basically consist of their Public Works department. So to look at our neighbors on either side of us, we're very different from either one of those. Looking around at the others, Wasatch County, Weber, Davis, Cache, even Washington County, everybody has uniqueness in what they include in Public Works and what they don't. So to try to find a good apples-to-apples comparison, we really didn't find that very well, so that's why we kind of looked at what we've done over the course of a few years to hopefully give you a little bit of a comparison there.
Can I ask you a question?
Sure.
on your scheduling? Can see that increase in the parks and reservations increase there. How much technology has changed in the way of scheduling over that same period of time?
I don't think it's changed at all, has it, Gina?
First year we're implementing in the next year.
Yeah, so we had on the commission agenda here a few weeks ago a contract with Sports Sites, which is the software that we're looking at, and we're just in the implementation side of things right now. That will go online for next spring's usage. But these past 10 years, it's been the same call-in reservations. Do we even do it online, or is it all call-in?
No, it's all call-in.
It's all call-in.
And that was the reason why I was asking, I was asking if technology, because I look at scheduling, like with the health department, whether they built that scheduling ability for them, if we do vaccines, to schedule, and how much that can help to offset some of the increase that we're seeing with in-person calls, which takes up time and lots of questions.
Yep.
And so if we're headed that direction, I think that's positive.
Yep, we are headed that direction. And then also that would make it so the payments can all be online as well.
Right.
So we don't have the camp hosts having to handle the cash. All that can be done electronically so that we have less risk there as well with the cash handling.
Okay. Richard, when I look at this administration, so it's a general fund item. Do we bill out the administration costs from our general fund to the other funds?
Yeah,
so
yeah.
But
so as we do our cost codes, as we enter our time, it goes to the different, it's like for parks reservations, that would get billed to the parks budget. So, yep, it does get
same thing for roads and
yes.
Everything else.
Yep.
Okay.
Wherever they're doing the work. A certain amount of it is just administrative time that's kind of in general, so that does hit the general fund, but for the most part, it does go out to each of the different divisions. Mm-hmm. Some things that we're looking at from our administration division that we would like to work on, we want to make sure that our payroll expenses are recorded to justify the percentage of allocation for the different divisions of Public Works Commissioner. That kind of leads right from what your question was. Hold monthly division manager meetings so we can correlate work between the divisions, make sure they're on the same page and working well with each other. The finance manager will meet monthly with our division managers to make sure that they're monitoring all of their budget expenses and that we're staying within our budget amounts. And then the director and the associate director will meet quarterly with the division managers and the finance manager to discuss budgets as well as project progress. Moving on into engineering, Engineering is funded primarily through the general fund and also through Service Area 8 for stormwater. Commissioner, maybe kind of the same idea there is if they're doing work for buildings, they would bill that back to buildings. If they're doing work for roads, they bill that back to roads. They do a lot of design work for the other divisions. They do inspections for projects and permitting. That we have had a 147% increase in those permit numbers since 2009. They do the road sign maintenance and the road inventories and traffic counts. That's all a function of the engineering division. We've seen a 233% increase in traffic count since 2009. A lot of that is attributed to the continued growth of the county. Even though the majority of the growth is happening inside the city limits, there's a lot of county roads that still see that increased traffic volume because the road is not yet annexed into the city or it's based on where the proximity of the development is. Some of that traffic is still on those county roads and we get requests for those traffic counts. The stormwater permitting and inspection, that's something that's come about in the last few years. And I believe the commission is fairly aware of that with the rules that we're having to live with that have come down through the state and through EPA. We do have a technician on board now that does the permitting and those on-site inspections. Looking back to 2009, we actually have two less staff members than we had in 2009. And currently we have five full-time people in the division. Looking at the engineering metrics they're looking at, they would like to make sure they've got 80% of the subdivision requests completed within a 14-day time frame. They will meet annually, no later than June 30th, with the building division manager to update square footage amounts on looking at the buildings and where different departments are in the buildings and how those get billed out for their space allocations. And that'll be in preparation for the following year's budget. And then establish and use payroll codes that accurately track the engineering services that are provided, specifically like to community development on subdivision review to make sure that we're getting those costs allocated on the appropriate basis there. Looking at roads, we talked a little bit about it, that it's funded through our B road money. Fourth quarter cent and then SRS, but that the SRS money does come through the Utah Valley Road Special Service District. Typically has come into the roads division through agreements between the county and the Road Special Service District, and typically those are project specific on those funds. This past year in 2020, we have able to chip seal about 41 miles of road. That's one of our programs that we use to maintain the surface of the road and to preserve the underlying asphalt. Snow removal is a big function that we have during the winter months. We plow snow on about 300 miles of road, that's centerline miles. We talked a little bit about the fire support with the dozer. We've covered that already. Weed control, this is one that's had a big change since 2009. 846% increase in the acres sprayed. Majority of that is the Utah Lake Phragmite control that we do in conjunction with forestry, fire, and state lands and the Division of Wildlife Resources as well as the Utah Lake Commission. Looking at road mileage in that 10-year comparison, 2009 we had 556 miles of road, in 2019 541. Even with all of the areas that have annexed into the cities over that time frame, there's been enough development that's been happening in the county that's increased the mileage that we've seen about a 15-mile decrease in our overall road mileage, but it's holding fairly steady. And we have two less operators than we had in 2009 with a total of 16 full-time employees in the division.
And this is center lane?
Yes, those are center lane miles on all those. So some of the metrics we've looked at in roads, we want to make sure that we have our snow removal taken care of within a 24-hour period of the storm event, at least 80% of the time. Sometimes it's just not possible because the event just keeps on going and going. But we do try to make sure we get out there and hit every road within that 24-hour period. That is something that we work with the division manager in roads to make sure that we're keeping our guys within an appropriate amount of time that they're in the truck. Oftentimes, the storms can run for many hours. We typically don't start them before about 4 o'clock in the morning, and we typically only run them until about 10 o'clock at night, unless there's extenuating circumstances where we need to run overnight just for the safety of the operators. We are looking at providing an opportunity for two of our equipment operators to attend the LTAP equipment training to achieve some equipment certifications. That's an opportunity that's afforded to us through the LTAP Center up at Utah State University, where they can certify the operators on different types of equipment, make sure they're trained properly, and we want to make sure that at least two operators each year have an opportunity for that. We're looking to outfit a trailer that we'd use for road construction that would have all of the traffic control and signage that they would need for a work zone, have that in the trailer and ready to go. So it's just hook on and go, and they don't have to go track down signs every time they go out to work on a project. And then also that we want to coordinate the implementation of the AssetWorks software, get the sign and road inventory moved over to the new system in 2021. And we are anticipating having that done this year, but with COVID and the inability of the AssetWorks staff to come and complete the work that they were working on with our fleet software, that has delayed that. We were anticipating having fleet online by mid-year and roads online by the end of the year. That's been pushed back about 6 or 7 months because of the COVID. I know they've been working on Zoom meetings as well, trying to get that done. And I believe, Gina, they're about where they're ready to come here on site, correct?
Yep.
So. Moving into parks. Parks is our division that's funded out of TRCC for our operations of our parks. This past year, we've had the transition of Willow Park to Lehigh City in conjunction with the agreement that was done between Lehigh and the county earlier this year. That is moving over, and I think I know we had a thing just not very long ago, one of the utilities had not transferred.
Yeah,
and did that get transferred now? So that one is done. There was a delay on that, but we've got that and resolved as well. We've got improvements to other parks we've done, Spanish Fork River Park, Lincoln Beach. The guys have been working on that quite a bit, trying to make those parks more user-friendly and to make a better user experience. Looking at our park usage number, the reservations have increased 219% over 2009. Trail usage, the number of events and participants using the parkways, it's had 132% increase over 2009. And the staff in parks, we have 7 full-time and 7 seasonal employees that work in that division.
Richard?
Yes.
A few questions about this. How did you guys feel about the Willow Park to Lehigh transfer?
Mixed feelings would probably be the best way to say there's a lot of history with the park in the work that was done by our park staff. I think they felt a lot of ownership to that park and were sad to see it go. On the same note, it was one that was a heavily used park, so it had its own share of problems. So in some senses, it was really nice to have it go. So it was kind of a mixed feeling.
And what about can you describe just generally these 7 full-time and 7 seasonal kind of roles, or if anyone else can?
As far as what they do?
Yeah.
Yeah, so we have our division manager and our parks maintenance supervisor that are the two that are kind of in the leadership roles. Five other full-time that work under them that are maintenance specialists. They do the mowing, the weed removal, any spraying, maintenance, like if there's a picnic table that's broken, they have to go out and fix that. We do have a pressure washer, steam cleaner that we go around. I believe it's weekly that we go and clean the tables off at each of the pavilions and places like that, so that the picnic benches and that are in, they're clean and they're nice to use. Restroom cleaning, things of that nature. And then the 7 seasonal are we have camp hosts at the three campgrounds that we have: Nuns Park, Spanish Fork River, and Lincoln Beach. And then we have a couple of seasonal that just help with the added load that comes with the summer months. During the winter, we're doing a lot of, we do snow removal on the trails because the trails are used year round. We also do a lot of our maintenance work over the winter months when when the park usage has slowed down.
The reason I was asking is, this is an interesting department because it does submit, and I know that's kind of evolved over the years, but it does submit its budget to the tourism, what is it?
The Tourism Tax Board.
The TTAB board, right?
Yep.
And Tourism Tax Advisory Board. And it, for me, this is an interesting one because we haven't necessarily gone into a lot of the detail of during that report of what does the county park system kind of do.
Mm-hmm.
And this is actually not a criticism because I think anyone who's operating the parks, it requires to set vision either from the county commission or the department head of how do we want to manage it.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like this is how it's been managed. There are times when we've had decisions like this equestrian park or like Willow Park,
mm-hmm.
where I've wondered if it wouldn't be helpful to have more of an external facing person. It's harder because we have a whole county to cover, right? And county assets are, we're not like a city where it's all right here in this neighborhood.
Yep.
But it sometimes feels problematic that we don't necessarily have that ability to go and quickly poll our community or the people who are using the assets of, hey, what amenities would you like to see?
Yeah.
Right?
I
think your team is maintaining, but not necessarily focused and haven't been tasked to focus on optimizing our best recreational assets in the county. Is that a fair statement?
That is a fair statement. We have tried to do that with in conjunction with Mountain Land Association of Governments. Jim Price over to MAG has done some surveys on the trails. So we have had some of that interaction with the help of MAG on the trails. Not so much on the parks. We do get a little bit of feedback that comes through our camp hosts from users like up at Spanish Fork River saying, hey, we'd like to see this amenity or that amenity. One of the things that has come about up to Spanish Fork River that we've heard from the users that they would like to see is to have it where we have like power on water hookups available. We currently don't have those at the park, but that is something that could be added. There is an expense, and we need to try to figure out is it viable to do that? Does it make sense to add that amenity? With the camping ability that most people have these days, there's a lot of them that like to pull in with a large RV and be able to plug in and have the air conditioner and the microwave and the TV all running at the same time. And sometimes that's challenging on a generator. So that is one of the things that we've looked at. But I think it would be nice to have some ability to know what the public would like to see, the users would like to see on those parks. And we try to take it as best we can from what information we're given.
Well, then of course, we don't have any of some of the cities. They'll have a recreation coordinator that are coordinating youth sports and,
right.
and really publishing out there. And so it's just something. I just say that it's something that's been on my mind that I've wondered. It feels like we kind of have to do one or the other. If we don't have those types of personnel or assets or focus, then it feels like there's going to be a natural tendency to, okay, maybe the cities can manage this a little bit better. Or maybe we should partner with the city on it. Or maybe we should work with our Tourism Tax Advisory Board and say, hey, this is something citizens would really like to see
mm-hmm.
of the county to add a little bit more resource and accessibility to our parks department so people know what's available and start to feel like they have a voice into how we can improve and accessibility.
And typically, our park system has been geared more towards a regional type park, you know, camping abilities, things like that, Lincoln Beach where it's down at the lake. And not geared so much towards like what I would call a city park. The one that we probably have that is the closest to a city park is Benjamin. It's in the unincorporated area of the county, but that's probably our one that's the closest to a city park. It's a grassy area, playgrounds, a ball diamond, pavilion, that sort of thing, where others are much more regional in nature. And looking at like Benjamin specifically, if that area were to either annex into one of the cities or incorporate into its own, I would anticipate that park moving to a city park at that point in time because it's geared more towards that type of a function. Ones like Spanish Fork River Park up Spanish Fork Canyon, it's a campground with some amenities that are there. We have the area out on the west side of the lake with the Soldier Pass shooting range that we're currently constructing. And that's one that'll be a regional shooting facility that'll take care of people in most of the county, as well as we'll get a draw from outside the county. And so those are kind of more the parks that we're geared towards handling. And most of our work is maintenance related rather than like a recreational type facility. So, but I would like to have that additional input from the citizens. I think that would be good.
Glenn Tanner, I'm the associate director. And one of the things that I get to do is work directly with the Parks Division Manager. He's brand new, actually. One of the things that Richard and I have tasked him with is to have a vision put together. Currently, Gina's team, as well as the Parks Division Manager, is working with IT to put like a barcode at each park that has a sign that says, hey, share your input. So over this next year, our goal, one of the visions we have, is to get more involvement from the public. On the trails, we're in the process of now trying to order signs that will allow us to be able to have people on the pathway see that, scan in a barcode, and provide input and feedback. And the other thing that we've asked the new Parks Division Manager was literally, give us a future. What's the next 5 years of these parks going to look like? What do you think can be a better amenity to the public? You know, how are we going to make an attractive facility for the public to come and enjoy? So, yeah, the vision's there. We're moving that way, but it's just starting. So,
no, that's great to hear. And the other thought that we could explore a little bit is that the, you know, explore Utah Valley, who really highlights a lot of the different things that are funded with TTAB and TRCC mm-hmm. dollars, they do highlight some of the outdoor stuff and the recreational opportunities that are in the county. And so what would be interesting is leveraging those assets to really highlight what the county's recreational opportunities sure. are, to just make sure that it's available out
yeah,
there.
Yeah, we'd be happy to be part of that. So,
anyway, thank you.
So Richard, can you tell me how you get the numbers on the trail usage?
The number that's reflected there is based on the number of events and the participant level at those events. That's that 132% increase that you're seeing since 2009 is the number of events they come in for an event permit.
So how many events are we talking about during a year's period of time?
Do you have that number with you, Gina? I've got it on a sheet, but I don't have it on the top
that's,
of my head.
That's where they come in. They say they want to run a marathon on
yes,
this thing.
Yes, there's a marathon,
that's
there's a bike race.
That's that event, maybe a day event or
yep.
something of that nature.
And we do also get numbers, daily number counts through MAG. They have some counters on different trails, Murdoch, Provo Canyon, Jordan River, as well as a lot of the city trails. They have counters, infrared counters on those that tell us how many are on it daily. And I can get those numbers through from Jim Price as well. I know on Murdoch here this past year, we hit the 3 million user mark since the Murdoch Trail opened in 2013. So,
yeah, okay.
31 events with 26,000 participants on the trail systems. So, okay. So that's where that number has come from. So. All right, looking at parks, some of the metrics we're looking at there, we've talked a little bit about the implementing with the administrative staff, the park software, to track the reservation and revenues. One of the things that we want to look at is also at the end of next season, see what how our season compares to previous years with reservations and revenue, and if we're holding the same, if it's increasing, what it's doing that way. We want to make sure that we have a schedule for our regular park maintenance. Because we are scattered so far and wide, we don't want to have a specialist go to Benjamin Park in the morning and to Equestrian Park in Lehigh in the afternoon. If we can have them do, like, say, Benjamin and Lincoln Beach on Monday and go to Lehigh and do Equestrian and some of the stuff up north on Tuesday, minimize some of that travel time. So we're looking at trying to coordinate all of those duties so we have the best use of the time and availability that we have. And then also to hold semi-annual meetings with the cities involved on the Murdoch Trail. We are involved with that on an interlocal agreement with the seven cities that are involved there. And they They pay a collective 65% of the maintenance. The county pays about 35% of the maintenance on the trail per that interlocal agreement. Telecommunications, I've actually got it broken into two separate parts. This one is mainly on the telephone side of it. This is one of our internal service funds. We are working on the new telephone system implementation. It is slated to be done by the end of the year. We have had a few hiccups with that along the way. We are nearing the completion point of that, and our staff has been working with the provider to try to work through some of the glitches we've seen in the system. One of the items that came up just in the last couple of weeks is because of the elections. We're holding on some of the switchover for elections to make sure that we don't have any glitches with the phone system until after the elections. Then we'll make that transition over, make sure it's covered. We were able to complete a full telephone audit and inventory in 2020. Now, with that, we have 1,443 active telephone lines in the county. Another part of our system is our fiber optics. Now, we have an outside plant that's our fiber optics that connects our various buildings and facilities. Over the last 10 years or so, we've had about a 26% increase in the number of miles of fiber optics we have between our different facilities. For telephone, what they're looking at doing is making sure we can develop an appropriate infrastructure cost for the replacement of the phone system in approximately 6 to 8 years, and make sure those costs are implemented in the lease rates going forward in the 2022 budget and forward, so that at the point in time we're ready to replace the phone system, that we have those funds available. With the voice over IP phone systems, they are very much a computer system. And as such, you know, just like a computer, they don't have a long shelf life. The old system was in place for about 20 years, but the way telephone systems have migrated, they've gone to more of a computer-based system, and therefore a shorter time frame. Again, with the payroll codes, want to make sure we're properly documenting with our fiber, our telephone cabling, and IT cabling, making sure that the appropriate budgets are getting charged for that time for those functions in the telecommunications division, and then make sure we have the appropriate lease rate for fiber and IT cabling to be billed as part of the 2022 budget. One of the things that we have not done in the past, that as we've been going more in depth on telecommunications, is there are parts of our system that should be being billed to IT, part that should be being billed to fiber or to telephone, and they've all kind of been lumped together. So we're trying to break those out and get the more true cost of what each of the functions relates to. The other side of telecommunications is radio. We also completed a radio inventory in 2020. And with that, got a radio replacement schedule nailed down. We have about a little over 1,000 radios, 1,064 radios in service. About a 95% increase over 2009. That is both our handheld radios, the portables, or the vehicle-mounted or the mobile radios. Majority of those radios are in the sheriff's office, and we want to make sure that those are up to date and where they need to be as far as the technology and the system, especially for those sheriff's deputies that are out on the road. That is their lifeline back to dispatch and to other help for them. So we want to make sure those radios are working properly. Telecommunications division, so that's both radio and telephone, is staffed jointly with 3 full-time employees, which is one less than we had in 2009. 2 of those are funded in telephone, and 1 is funded in radio. But again, they bill their time accordingly based on what function they're doing on any particular day. They bill out that way. Metrics for radio. We have found some missing radios that we know we've got a vehicle with a radio in it, but we don't have that on our radio inventory, so we're working on getting those nailed down so we make sure we have all the radios accounted for, and coordinating that with motor pool so as we change out vehicles, we know if the radio's changing from an old vehicle to a new vehicle, or if it's a new radio going in that vehicle. We want to have that coordination happen with motor pool by June 30th each year, so we know what's happening for the following year's budget as well. We will do an annual radio audit to make sure that stays up to date. And then the radio replacement schedule is something we want to be able to provide to the departments that have radios so they know when those radios will be replaced, and looking out on a 12-year horizon. Because, again, like with these radios, they are very much a computer-based type piece of equipment, and looking at about a 6-year lifespan on those. The other item that we're looking at for radio is to look at the cost of our mountaintop sites and what it costs us to maintain those, and make sure that those costs are incorporated into the radio lease rates to make sure we've got all those costs covered, as well as for outside entities that lease space from us on those mountaintop sites. We have several that are in our sites and pay us a lease. So we want to make sure that we're capturing the appropriate cost from them for those services. Moving into fleet services, it's another internal service fund. We were able to complete a vehicle inventory earlier this year that we provided to the commission. We've outfitted 23 different patrol vehicles with all the equipment that goes along with those, and several others that are less equipment that's added to the vehicles. In the fleet, we have 367 vehicles for a 29% increase over 2009. About 220 of those are the light duty cars and trucks. And then we have a lot of our heavy vehicles as well. 387 pieces of equipment. That's everything from the lawnmower and the weed whacker up to the track hoe and the bulldozer. The reason you see such a big increase there over 2009, I think in years past, we didn't have a lot of those small pieces of equipment accounted for in the system, and we've done that now. Asset Works, again, we're going to have that up and running for a fleet by the end of the year. Our staffing level has not changed since 2009, and we have currently 10 full-time employees in fleet services. Some of the things that we're looking at for metrics there is to complete an audit of our insurance charges in January and June to make sure that as we have new vehicles come into the system and old vehicles go out of the system, that we're getting charged appropriately for those. Provide an annual vehicle audit and establish contracts with some businesses throughout the county for lube, oil, and filter. Looking at taking some of that outside, and then we'd also like to evaluate the cost over the next year as to whether that's more cost effective taking it out to a vendor versus doing it internally. So we've got the cost of what it takes internally. We're going to go out for a contract and do that and see what it does on the private side. And then we want to make sure that our average install time for marked patrol units is 55 hours for at least 80% of those units. Try to keep those install hours to a minimum out of where we can, but they are fairly intense. And you get to, if you want to go see what they do to equip a patrol unit, you'd be amazed what they take a brand new vehicle and basically have to tear it half apart to put all the equipment and wiring and accessories on there that go on for a patrol unit and then put it all back together. So, buildings and grounds, our last internal service fund. This year, we've done a lot of remodels, especially here in this building, the lower level. We've done a lot of work on it. We've done several smaller remodels as we've moved different people around in different locations. We maintain a little over 1 million square feet of building space. That's about a 7% increase over 2009. This year, in 2019, our buildings and grounds crew completed 2019, they completed 12,100 work orders, which is 130% increase over 2009. We've also had, with COVID, the additional cleaning. We've had our janitorial contractor doing most of these downtown buildings. We have had staff members in the buildings and grounds crew taking care of part of that as well as the work they do down at the security center in Spanish Fork. That staff includes 27 full-time employees and 2 seasonal to help primarily with the landscape maintenance in the summertime. Some of the things that they're looking at, complete an audit of building space no later than June 30th to make sure that the square footage is updated on each of the building's usage for the next year's budget. We need to go through and look at our maintenance contracts that we have with areas like the animal shelters, the CJC, Mountain Land Community Health, some of those convention center, and make sure that we have an overhead rate that's included in those. That's one thing that we've found we don't have in those contracts is an overhead rate, and those contracts are not covering all of the added expenses. We're going to go through each of those this next year to update those, bring those to the commission for amendments on that. We want to make sure we complete 75% of our non-PM work orders within 5 business days. And then we're also going to evaluate the election storage building that's out on the public works site to determine the best use or tenant for that building. Capital project, just going to touch really quickly on that. Myself and Rudy, as well as Patrick, are the capital projects committee. We've been working over the past several months to prepare a document for you that will look at kind of look ahead on the big ticket items. Many of those do fall within my department because they are building related. So that one of the things that we're trying to do on that committee, and I won't take a lot of time on that, we'll do that at a different time. But we are trying to look at those longer term projects, higher dollar item projects, and try to give you a good perspective of what's coming down the road and what we're recommending you need to be able to plan for over the coming years. And with that, any additional questions you have for me?
So you based your I see 2009 come up quite often.
Yep, that was just the year we picked.
Yeah.
10 years worth, so.
Yeah, okay.
Yeah. And one of the reasons
why there was a reset back then.
One of the reasons why we did that, Commissioner, is in 2009, right at the end of 2008, start of 2009, the county went through a reduction in force.
Right.
And we lost about 15 employees in public works. So we took 2009, that was that first year of that reduced staff, and compared it out 10 years and then see where we were staff-wise and work-wise in that 10 years.
Yeah, okay. All right.
Other questions?
One question is, I know that you provide some support to the capital project needs at the convention center.
Yes.
And is that limited just on the admin side, or where would we see any of that show up in the org chart?
One of our facility maintenance specialists in the buildings and grounds is assigned to do the work at the convention center. They're there probably 50% of their time for that individual, and they bill that out accordingly as they're in that site. The other part would just be my time as part of the committee that I sit on with the three of you, with Danny. So that's our primary role at the convention center.
Okay, that's helpful. Thank you.
Okay.
Okay.
If there are no other questions, then we're done.
All right.
Thank you.
Thanks.
No, third time was rough. I'm kidding.
Okay, let's see. What do we have next? So we'll go ahead and adjourn until our next work session meeting on the budget tomorrow at 10 a.m.
Goodbye.